There's a lot of good things about being an Ohioan, but a new report from the Health Policy Institute of Ohio suggests that things aren't as good as they could be when it comes to health value. Ohio ranks 46th in the nation, meaning we spend more but are less healthy than all but three other states. Amy Rolling McGee of the Institute and Dan Rapp of Ohio Farm Bureau are in today to talk about what needs to be improved and how we can get there. Health Policy today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
We spend a lot of money on health care, either through our insurance premiums or payment to providers or with our tax dollars, and we don't seem to be getting our money's worth. The Health Policy Institute of Ohio has issued its 2017 Health Value Dashboard, and that's among the topics we're going to discuss today. Our guests are the president of the Institute, Amy Rolling McGee, and Dan Rapp, Senior Director of Health Services for Ohio Farm Bureau. Dan, welcome back. Amy, welcome back. You've been it was a couple years ago we had you on, I think.
It has been a few years. Thanks for having us back today.
Absolutely. Just to set the stage, the Health Policy Institute of Ohio, what do you guys do?
Well, we're a small nonprofit organization located here in Columbus, Ohio. Our mission is to provide the analysis needed to create evidence-informed state health policy. We do that work in partnership with our state's policymakers, meaning folks who serve in the Ohio General Assembly, and then also people who serve in the executive branch of government, as well as a wide array of other stakeholders who are also engaged in the policymaking process, such as Dan, other folks here at the Farm Bureau, stakeholders such as providers, insurers, consumer advocates, and the such.
So Amy said you were one of their frequent attendees when they have their sessions, Dan. So
I look every time their symposium agenda comes out, and I'm just always fascinated with the topics that are going to be in there and the quality of speakers that are there, especially over the last few years that as we've dealt with so much change in the national healthcare landscape. And it's just been awesome to attend them, very interesting to participate in.
And then not just for you personally, but for our members, I mean, that's one of the challenges they've asked us to tackle is how do we get the cost of healthcare under control?
Yeah, and as we deal with our members and talking about local policy and state policy and national policy, having something like the Health Policy Institute of Ohio as a resource to provide them with some input and maybe filter some of their thinking into our policy efforts and our lobbying efforts is really good to have.
So, Amy, you spelled out well the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the money come from? How's health policy funded?
We're funded by foundations and United Ways from throughout the state of Ohio primarily. And our niche is really the nonpartisan and independent analysis needed to create evidence-informed state health policy. And I think, not to put words in Dan's mouth, but I think that's one of the elements that people who attend our educational forums appreciate is that we provide that information in a very nonpartisan way, in a fact-based way, exploring various sides of an issue, but at a time when we're seemingly more polarized, especially on this issue, I think there is a group of stakeholders here in our state that want to stay focused on the facts and the results and not so much the politics.
We're going to maybe touch a little bit on, even though you don't focus on the politics, we're going to touch on a few of those issues that are highly mm-hmm. politically charged here in a little bit, but as I spent time learning more about your organization, I looked over what you called strategic goals or long range mm-hmm. goals, and the top one on that list wasn't something that you can do for me. It's something I can do for myself. You want Ohioans mm-hmm. to begin to make mm-hmm. smarter choices mm-hmm. in keeping themselves healthy.
Well, researchers have estimated that our health is influenced by a number of modifiable factors. 30% of our health is driven by our behaviors, so the choices we make. only about 20% is estimated to be attributed to clinical care, meaning access to care and quality of care. It's a relatively small percentage. So, you know, if you're sick, if you have an accident, if you have a chronic health condition, access to care is critically important. We all value having that access and being able to get access to quality care. But really, it's other factors such as our behaviors, our choices, the environment in which we live, you know, whether we have a good paying job and a decent education. All of these are much more significant contributors to our overall health.
So I need to stop overeating, stop smoking, stop binge drinking, and not ride a motorcycle without a helmet, and I'm going to be better off.
Every bit of that would help.
Maybe a little exercise thrown in there, too, would be good.
And absolutely. Dan, one thing I've noticed just watching how our health programs work for us as employees and the ones that we provided to members over the years is – It's hard to get people to stop doing all those bad things. There's been an attempt, I think, in the industry to incentivize better behaviors, right?
Yeah, very much so. And in the health benefits plan that we are on now for our employees, we are now on a self-funded plan. So how well we take care of ourselves and those food choices that we make and the amount of exercise we get and so forth, all are going to help keep our premiums down for the Ohio Farm Bureau as our employer and our contribution as employees.
Another of the long-range goals is to have a social, economic, physical environment that supports our health. I'm guessing that if I don't have a job and I'm feeling the stress of not being able to put food on the table, that's going to hurt my health.
Exactly. The social and economic environment, which includes education, employment, income, that's estimated to contribute about 30% or 40% to our overall health. And then our physical environment, which are things like whether we have lead in our house or in our drinking water, what our air quality is, that contributes about 10% to our overall health. So those environments are critically important in terms of drivers or influencers of our overall health.
So access to health care, and there's another one on there that I think may be related somewhat, health equity. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about, do we have access to the kind of health care we need in Ohio, and is that access equal across demographics, financial parameters, geography, et cetera?
No, it is not. We have wide gaps or disparities in terms of a number of metrics that we look at in the health value dashboard. We're fond of saying that access to care, though, is necessary but not sufficient to achieving overall health outcomes. And there, you know, are many people in our state who really struggle to and don't have the opportunities to be healthy that other people have in our state. So we take a closer look at that in the health value dashboard as well.
And Dan, another piece of this we want to drill down in. Our members tell us, help me find health care for my family, for myself, for my employees, but I don't want it to cost too much. Trying to find that balance between the good health care that Amy's describing and something you can pay for is, if you and I had the answer to that, we wouldn't be sitting here doing a radio show.
That is a real challenge today, for sure. And many of our rural areas in the state are down to just a single insurer that's offering individual health plans, much of which our members need out there. And it's not looking good for rate filings in 2018 so far either, with the carriers offering individual health plans out through the state of Ohio. But we'll see.
Well, that's a good transition. Amy, just kind of give us a level set on where things are in Washington. We all know that the Trump administration went in and on one of their promises of repealing and replacing Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Congress took a shot, couldn't get the votes, and so it kind of went on. That's my question. Is it on the back burner? Where do things stand now?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, and I don't know that I have the answer to it. It seems that they're still having difficulty coming to agreement on the details of any kind of replacement plan. And this is even going up to right when we were walking up here, we were kind of checking the news feeds, and it seems like there was supposed to be a new bill or a revised piece of legislation that would come out at the end of last week or over the weekend. That didn't happen. There's still talk of a vote this week, yet there's no piece of legislation on which to vote. I think one of the things that we'd be looking for as an organization is whatever analysis the Congressional Budget Office produces once a piece of legislation comes out, because we're really focusing in on what could the impacts be in terms of number of people impacted, as well as other impacts to the federal budget and the deficit and so forth. But without a piece of legislation, there's nothing for the Congressional Budget Office to review. And therefore, we really don't know what to say about what's going on in Washington without any kind of details.
So, Dan, what's it like in the life of someone who doesn't know? They were pretty sure that Obamacare was going away. Now they don't know if it's going away or how it's going to change. What's that like to be in that position?
Well, we hear weekly from members out there that are looking for solutions, whether they know they're going to retire real soon and they don't know what they're going to move to on in terms of their coverage beyond that, or just finding any option that they would consider affordable even within their area. There's definitely a drive, in my opinion, more towards employer-sponsored health plans with our members that are looking for someone in the family to go get that job, get that benefit to provide to the family for coverage.
Well, and just going back to some data related to that, we know that about 50% or a little over 50% of Ohioans do get their coverage through employer-sponsored health insurance, and that has stayed relatively stable over the last several years. About a quarter of Ohioans are getting coverage through Medicaid. That has increased over the last couple of years. Over 700,000 Ohioans got coverage as a result of new Medicaid eligibility levels that were a part of the Affordable Care Act and then enacted here in Ohio. Only about 5% of Ohioans are getting coverage through the individual market, in large part due to the fact that cost is still a concern. Mm-hmm. Even if you're someone who has gotten some of the cost-sharing subsidies that were a part of the Affordable Care Act and the tax credits that were a part of the Affordable Care Act, cost can still be a barrier, although those provisions did bring the cost down. So I think, you know, there are still people, we still have, I think, around 6% of Ohioans who are uninsured, and cost still is a challenge for people who are in that uninsured group.
And we've only got a minute here. Just a quick plug for a potential solution that Ohio Farm Bureau now offers to its members.
Yeah, we offer a self-funded plan for employers with 2 to 99 employees in the agriculture and food industry in the state, where we are pooling together the health risks of those employers and employees to operate on a self-funded basis.
And it's called a health benefits plan.
Health benefits plan, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan. And you can find information on the Ohio Farm Bureau website all about that.
OFBF.org is the place to go. Amy Rolling McGee is our guest. She's the president of the Health Policy Institute of Ohio. Dan Rapp's our senior director of health services here at Ohio Farm Bureau. I alluded to the health value dashboard earlier in the show. We're going to find out what it is, what it tells us, and, well, maybe some of the things we need to fix in the Buckeye State. That's next on Town Hall Ohio.
Feeling strange, so I went to see a man who had himself a medical degree. He said, my 20 years it's led me to my belief. There ain't no pill that's gonna give you all.
We welcome you back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking health policy in the Buckeye State. Amy Rolling McGee is the president of the Health Policy Institute, and Dan Rapp handles health services for Farm Bureau members here at our organization. Amy, I guess the impetus behind bringing you in for this particular show is the release of your latest health value dashboard. What is that?
Well, a few years ago, we decided to produce the first version of our dashboard. And the reason why we did it is that we figured, we all say we're about improving health. Policymakers say that, others in the healthcare arena say that. But we don't have we didn't have consensus on what measures we should all be paying attention to know whether we're moving in the right direction or not. We brought together a group of stakeholders representing all kinds of fields, and we asked that question, like, what measures should we all be looking at over time to know whether we're improving or not, and how do we compare to other states, just as a point of reference. So we came to consensus. This version of the Health Value Dashboard has 118 measures in it, which, believe it or not, is a concise list of measures because there's lots of measures out there. And we look at health outcomes, and we look at spending in particular. That's what goes into the health value rank. Then we also look at all of the other influencers or contributors to health. So as we were talking about earlier, we look at where Ohio ranks on child poverty, for example, or measures related to employment, measures related to access, and lead, those kinds of measures. And smoking, that is one that we have several measures related to in the dashboard. As you also mentioned earlier, the analysis that we produced shows that Ohio is not doing well. We're not doing well in terms of our health outcomes. We rank 43rd compared to other states on health outcomes, which includes measures like adult smoking and cardiovascular disease. We also don't perform well in terms of healthcare spending. So when you look at just Medicare spending and private and employer spending, we're performing poorly. We rank 31st on that particular metric compared to 50 states in the District of Columbia.
I want to back up just a step. I think it's worth emphasizing the fact that you use the word value. To me, that denotes that looking at outcomes alone would be inappropriate, as would looking at costs alone. I assume that's the reason for that terminology.
Yes.
Both need to be weighed.
Right, because we know that improving health is something that many in our state care about, both personally and for the community at large. But we also know that spending is a concern. It's a concern for taxpayers. It's a concern for consumers. It's a concern for people like the people Dan mentioned earlier who are calling the Farm Bureau and asking about what their options are for getting health insurance coverage. It's a concern for our policymakers, which is our primary audience for our organization's work. So we can't just pay attention to health outcomes. It's about what are we spending and are we getting a good return on that investment? Is our spending resulting in better health outcomes? And in Ohio, the answer is no. We're spending a lot on health care, so treating all of the results of poor health conditions, but that's not translating into good health outcomes overall.
So Amy, Dan mentioned several items that we've known for many years. Smoking, not good. Obesity, not good. Poverty, not good. One of the challenges that we're facing in Ohio that's not just limited to being a health care and health cost challenge, but it gets to the core of society. Our members are paying a lot more attention to the opioid addiction in Ohio and the overall drug abuse problem that we face.
Yeah, when we get together, our issue advisory teams, which are groups of volunteers that help us work on these issues, we have a special group for health and safety. And that was probably the most talked about topic last year, and I'm sure will be again, related to the whole opioid issue. And not only the direct effects of overdoses and torn apart families and the cost of caring for kids who are, now become into the system. Maybe they don't have their parents in their lives anymore because of this kind of an issue. But mobile production facilities and things that show up in rural areas and end up being discarded and causing a hazard as well.
Is this showing up in the
yes.
statistics?
So there is a measure in the dashboard related to drug overdose deaths. We rank 49th compared to other 50 states in the District of Columbia on drug overdose deaths, and we greatly worsened since the last time we looked at the data. There are no states that improved.
49th worst.
Worst, exactly. There are no states that improved on this particular measure. But we are performing far poorly compared to other states. This is going to be an issue that our organization spends more time on here in the upcoming months, because it's clearly not getting better. There have been attempts or steps taken in, I think, the right direction to address this issue from a policymaking perspective. But we clearly need to do more. We need to look at evidence-based strategies that have perhaps worked elsewhere, and really put more emphasis on this particular issue and addressing this issue.
Well, we've got a lot more to drill down into, and we'll do so in a few moments. But if you'd like to study up, I assume all of this is online, Amy?
Yes, hpio.net is our website. All of our publications, information about our educational forums is on our website.
More from Amy Rolling McGee and Dan Rapp on Health Policy for Ohio when we continue. Welcome back to Town Hall Ohio. We're talking about health policy in the Buckeye State with the head of the Health Policy Institute, Amy Rolling McGee. Dan Rapp is our Senior Director of Health Services with Ohio Farm Bureau. Dan, we were talking about the health value dashboard that Amy explained, tells us what are some of the health outcomes in Ohio, how much are we paying for them, and unfortunately we're not doing well on either end of that. One of the challenges that adds to poor health that our members pay attention to, it just shocks me that we still have too many people in Ohio that simply don't have enough to eat. It's always my rhetorical question, how can that be in this wealthy nation? But it's a fact of life.
It does shake heads when I'm out talking to our Farm Bureau member employers. And I use a lot of this, the way it's presented in the Health Value Dashboard, and talking with those groups. And you know, what do you see in your areas? And food insecurity for an organization that cares as much about food as what the Ohio Farm Bureau does, and the work that we do to help organizations like Mid-Ohio Food Bank, for example, it's surprising that it's still such a major issue in some areas, but it is. There are lots that, you know, there's a little bit of food in the house today and they're really not sure what they're going to have tomorrow.
Yeah, this is one of Ohio's greatest health challenges. We rank 45th. Compared to other states, 45th worse in terms of food insecurity, which is focused on the percent of households with limited or uncertain access to adequate food. You know, one of the things that we were really pleased with when we released the first version of our dashboard 2 years ago was that many policymakers, so folks that serve in the General Assembly or in the executive branch of government, would look at this data related to our challenges, and they'd say, well, what can we do about it? I mean, this is horrible. This is not acceptable that we rank so poorly on issues like drug overdoses and food insecurity or smoking and tobacco use, but what can we do about it? So we started focusing more than as an organization on looking at evidence-based strategies to address these challenges, because it really isn't enough just to produce the data. The data just tells you where we are. You really have to look at what can we do about it, both through public policy, but also in the private sector as well. There are many strategies for which having private sector partners can be very important, and we know that this is an issue that many businesses and employers also care about, food insecurity in particular. One of the reasons why many people care about this issue is that it's estimated that hunger costs Ohio $7 billion in healthcare, education, and charity spending. So this is an area where likely if we focused on it more and implemented more evidence-based strategies, we could save money in the long run.
Well, I want to get to some more of those fixing the challenge issues. But before that, as a former smoker, I know that that's probably health-wise, And economically, one of the best decisions that I ever made in my life. Smoking continues to be one of the leading factors that causes poor health in Ohio.
Well, first, congratulations on stopping smoking. How long has it been?
I'm trying to think now. I'm trying to do the math in my head. About 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was
That's
it
wonderful.
Those velvety radio tones you were trying to nurse?
No, it was trying to avoid the horrible hacking coughing that
right.
I woke up with every right. morning. Yeah.
Well, whatever
yeah.
it takes. Well, you know, we yeah. know that most smokers do want to stop smoking. And there are many evidence-based strategies that can help people stop smoking. I mean, now there's all the cessation medications, there's cessation counseling, there's patches and gums and all of that to help people stop smoking. One of the reasons why this is so important, though, for addressing our health value rank is that we know that states that perform better than us on health value, one of the things that they have in common is much lower adult smoking rates than we have here in Ohio. And we did a correlation analysis where we looked at what measures are most highly correlated to better health value. And this was one of those measures where there was a really high connection between smoking rate. So I think for one, there's huge room for improvement on this. There are evidence-based strategies that could be acted on both within the public policy world and also in the private sector. And really, it impacts so many other health challenges, too, from cancer to COPD to heart conditions, other lung conditions. It's just critically important. And recently, there was a study that came out of Indiana. I'm just looking here at my notes to get the figure right, where they looked at the cost to Medicaid for a smoker compared to a non-smoker. The cost was 51.4% higher for treating smokers than non-smokers, and a much higher percentage of people on Medicaid smoke than the general population. So for a cost savings perspective in our state budget, it's important that we look at this.
Yeah, and so for all of us non-smokers, those are our tax dollars that are paying for health care that Amy just mentioned. So we've all got something to gain if we can see some things happen in this area. More on Town Hall Ohio when we're back after this. We're talking with Amy Rolling McGee, the president of the Health Policy Institute of Ohio, and Dan Rapp, senior director of health services for Farm Bureau. Amy, on the chance that somebody missed it at the top, a quick description again of what the Health Policy Institute does.
We provide nonpartisan and independent analysis in order to create evidence-informed state health policy.
And folks like Ohio Farm Bureau get engaged, learn from that, use your resources to help our members, legislators, community leaders across the board. We were talking earlier about all of these problems that we have and we're spending an awful lot of money on, and you've indicated that part of the direction you want your institute to go in is to help find some solutions. Mm-hmm. As I look at some of these symptoms that lead to poor health outcomes or high costs, a lot of them seem to be if we could just get more people well-paying jobs. A lot of it seems to be economic-driven. They don't eat well because they can't afford fruits and vegetables, or they will not have food because they don't have a job.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is because this is a Farm Bureau program that this analogy popped into my head, but it's kind of a chicken and an egg sort of situation too, because we do hear of employers that have jobs available, but are having trouble finding employees that can pass drug tests. So there is a need to address, from a treatment perspective, some of these poor health conditions or addictions that already exist in order to have a healthy workforce and produce and encourage more employers to locate to our state. That's one part of the equation, I think. But we also do know that as people are able to get better paying jobs, then that is correlated to better health outcomes.
And so, Dan, one of the things I've heard our members talk a lot about is making sure we're adequately helping Ohio's vocational training program, the whole workforce development of creating people that, A, can pass the drug test, and then, B, have the skills that are necessary in today's economy. And it may not be a four-year college degree that our people need employees to come from.
And many, you know, are going that route, looking at more vocational offerings in their post-secondary education. And there's, you know, there are lots of jobs out there. It's a matter of gaining those skills, refining them, and employers are there for good, clean, hardworking employees.
Another item that our members talk about, and one of the things that we addressed, is the access to certain kinds of foods. And I think we know pretty clearly there's a large share of Ohio's population that doesn't have access to fresh produce, fruits and vegetables and stuff. That's another one of those that resonates with Farm Bureau members.
Absolutely. And we're seeing even some of our county Farm Bureaus getting engaged with some urban community gardening and things like that to just help raise that awareness and provide some more inner city access for sure to the types of fruits and vegetables that would be good.
And I'm going to ask you a question, Dan. Am I right in remembering that OSU Extension also has been involved in partnering with others at the community level around access to fresh fruits and vegetables?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They do tons of education around mm-hmm. the state related to all of that in through their master gardening programs mm-hmm. and helping mm-hmm. to just teach people what it takes. And it's not super hard to grow all that produce at home and to have that available. There's lots of ways it can be done in really small spaces or containers and can provide those families with good access.
So, Amy, you've done some research into some things that we can do individually and public policy-wise that will help us start improving our health value in Ohio. One of those strategies I see, though, is to start getting the message out early in the family, making sure mom and dad and the kids understand what's at stake.
Focusing on children and families, I think, is one of the most effective strategies we could use here in our state to improve our health value rank. We often term it or call it going upstream and focusing on prevention. When you think about issues such as our drug addiction problem here in Ohio, there are programs that are implemented in Ohio schools and could be implemented in more Ohio schools that teach children the skills they need to not end up becoming addicted to drugs and alcohol, also prevent other negative health outcomes too, like teen pregnancy. So I think focusing on those upstream prevention-oriented strategies with children and families is a very important step that Ohio could take.
More on health policy in Ohio with Amy Rolling McGee and Dan Rapp when we're back. Welcome back to Town Hall Ohio. Dan Rapp of Ohio Farm Bureau and Amy Rolling McGee of the Health Policy Institute of Ohio are helping us look at how we improve the value of our health and health care in the Buckeye State. Amy, one of the things that is in the news an awful lot, whether it's because of what's happening with the so far failed attempt to replace the Affordable Care Act, or then the implications for how we provide services in Ohio, this whole subject of Medicaid. Kind of give us just a primer on what the whole system is designed to do.
Well, Medicaid is a state-federal partnership, meaning that the state contributes some of the funding for services for people who otherwise wouldn't have other options or many other options. And then the federal government also contributes some funding for that program. As it stands right now, the federal government also puts a lot of kind of controls or regulations around the program as well. And that's one of the things that has been discussed in Washington lately, is whether or not states should be given more flexibility in the types of services that are covered by Medicaid, you know, any kind of additional requirements that are put on people who have Medicaid. And so states are seeking that increased flexibility, and we'll see how that pans out.
Help me understand, too. Lots of talk. Under the Affordable Care Act, there was a provision attached to that, that if states expanded the number of people in the Medicaid program, they would what? Get additional federal funding? Did I get that close to right?
You did. You got it completely right. Completely right.
That's good, Joe.
Yeah. as a result of the Affordable Care Act, states were able to expand Medicaid coverage up to 138% of the federal poverty level, which for a family of three right now is around $27,000 a year. So it's people with very low incomes. States had a choice to make whether they wanted to move in that direction or not. Ohio did decide to move in that direction. As a result, over 700,000 Ohioans, most of whom didn't have coverage before, got coverage through that provision of the Affordable Care Act. So it's important, because we've been talking a lot about how Ohio performs poorly, but this is one of the areas where Ohio is doing better than many other states on access to care. And I'm not just talking about access to insurance, meaning Medicaid or other kinds of insurance. We've seen improvements in the ability of people to see a doctor without cost being a barrier. On that particular measure, we rank 13th compared to the other states in the District of Columbia, and we've greatly improved. In large part, that's due to the changes that were made as a result of the Affordable Care Act.
So if I'm a conservative person who says, I want people in Ohio who truly need medical care to get it, and I don't mind my tax dollars being spent for it, but I don't want my tax dollars to be wasted. Mm-hmm. Wasted is a harsh term, but what do we need to be looking at in terms of cost control for what I might feel is a necessary program?
Well, I guess it's important to note that any services provided and billed to Medicaid need to be medically necessary services. And Medicaid is not cash that's being handed out to people who are on the program. It's reimbursement for medically necessary services provided by a practitioner, a physician, a hospital. So that's kind of inherent in the program. However, we do know that not all care provided is high-value care, meaning there are many duplicative services that are provided because of lack of coordination. And there's a lot of work to be done in terms of making sure that our dollars are being spent wisely. I would say that the Governor's Office of Health Transformation has taken many steps over the last few years to reform our Medicaid program so that we are paying for value versus volume of services in the Medicaid program.
So my mistake was giving 5 minutes to what should have been an entire show on making Medicaid.
You can come back another time.
We'll have you back to do that. And Dan, you'll come back too, I hope?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks to Amy Rolling McGee, president of the Health Policy Institute of Ohio, Dan Rapp from Ohio Farm Bureau. Hope we gave you a few things to think about in the whole area of health value today on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.